Welcome to episode 152 of Ring Talk. I think, maybe. With myself, Martin Theobald, and with me, Steve Goodwin, for the weekly Goodwin Boxing Show. It's been a tough week, isn't it, Steve? Let's start off. Let's get the rip the plaster off it. A tough week for yourself, Goodwin Boxing, and particularly Linus Yudofia.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, didn't go the way we wanted. What I would say is the fight hadn't even started. It was pretty much a non-event for five rounds, wasn't it? And nothing was happening on either side. I know that Steve Gray had it level. At the end, he had it level at the after the rounds that were completed. But the fight really hadn't warmed up. And obviously, Kieran Conway hit Linus with a punch, and it was just a freak punch because it closed his eye in one punch. And it wasn't that he got beaten up. And you can't even say the better man won. You can't say that. You can only say Kieran Conway did land a punch. It was a good punch, obviously. But, you know, you could do that 99 more times and it wouldn't close his eye and the fight would just be going back to normal. It's just a freak. I mean, Kieran, I thought, a little bit disingenuous on his post saying, oh, it was fairly easy. I never had to get out of first gear. Well, of course, he didn't have to get out of first gear because the fight hadn't started. It's not as if he'd done anything to win it. He'd landed a punch, but he could land that punch 100 more times and he wouldn't close somebody's eye. And it wasn't hard enough. It didn't hurt Linus. It just closed his eye. So, bit of a shame, but that's boxing. In boxing, things like that can happen. Kieran Conway moves on now towards the British title. Linus has to... We have to do my job and get him re-back in a position where he's in a big fight next year. So that's what I'll do now. But you just can't, there's nothing you can take out of that. I can't say he lost to the better man. I can't say he was beaten up and can't say that. It was just a non-event. And, you know, nothing happened for the first few rounds. Just was pretty much one of those fights. It won't go down as Hearns Hagler, will it?
Yeah. And you can't take it away from Conway. You know, he landed the sort of the most significant punch.
Yeah, for sure.
Luck or otherwise, that it sort of landed and closed the eye up of Linus. You know, sort of, I know Linus has been very sort of humble in defeat and sort of giving his credit to Kieran. I think sort of credit to Kieran, he moves on.
You've got to say, it was a punch. So it's not as if he didn't land the punch to get the eye.
Yeah.
He landed the punch. So you can't, I'm not saying he didn't deserve to win because he landed the punch, but it was just, you know, he threw, if you look at the fight, he threw the more effect. Linus threw volume, Kieran Conway threw the more imposing punches in the fight. And, he landed that, and because he landed a big punch or a fairly strong punch, he got the stoppage. It's just a shame. Nobody likes losing that way. And it's just, but it's one of those things where he'll move on. They both go in different directions now. We'll see where, you know, what happens over the next year, 18 months, 2 years. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I text Linus after the fight and sort of he was perfectly okay. Like you said, there's no fracture, there's no break. We're recording this Tuesday, it's sort of significantly gone down on it. So it doesn't sound like it's sort of career threatening or anything. And
No.
Yeah, it will be back, I'm sure. But it was sort of, I think he was happy with how he was boxing, just not happy with how the fight ended. You know, I'm sure he had a plan for the second half of the fight that sort of was predicated on how the first half of the fight was going to go. We never got to see it. And to that end, the fight never really sort of took fire, did it? And
their plan, and I know I was, their plan was six rounds, keep it about level, and then just get you, and then take over in the second half of the fight. That was always the plan. He boxed to the plan he was given in the first six rounds.
Yeah.
Much as I would say that wasn't the most scintillating watch for six rounds for the public, but that's what he was doing, and that's the orders, that's the plan they were working to. But such is life, we move on. You can't change the result, that's what happened.
Yeah, so for people at home, Linus is fine, he's okay, but, you know.
He's away on holiday with his partner, his fiancé. He's away till Friday night, and then he's away with us at the weekend on a stag weekend in Prague next weekend. So I'll be seeing him again at the airport on Saturday.
Yeah, and sort of, you know, if you're a fan of Linus, you've seen Linus fight, it's important to support fighters in their sort of their darker moments as well as in their sort of better moments. So do sort of send him a message, do drop him a tweet, and sort of, you know, give him a...
And as I say to him now, the most important thing I could do as his friend, manager, whatever you want, is sit there, give him the reassurance, and I'll go and sort and I'll build a plan for him. You don't just, so it's just as it's more important. My job is more important now, because if he wins, the future
is easy.
It's easy. The losing makes my job more difficult, but I have to do that. But a plan is in place, and I'm sure it will work out.
And, you know, I'm sure people at home are probably sort of thinking it. Like, what's the, and I can second guess it, but what's that atmosphere like in the changing room straight after the fight when you've got to go back there?
We're sort of get that the mechanics of it are, we leave the ring. Linus is in a, his eye's gone, he's in a bad way. I then have to go, I went with Ellis Stewart into the audience to grab his fiancée, who was in the stands. We had to get, we wanted to see her, so we had to get the security to allow that. We then had to get her, and she was obviously very, very upset. We then had to bring her into Linus. So it's not nicer, but you've got to do those things. You're there to help him. If he wants his fiancée there, we get her there. And then we, and after the fight, they went back to the hotel, and that was it. And then Linus, and then Bryony drove him home that evening. And yeah, but no, the atmosphere in the dressing room is awful. But I want to give a really big shout out to Ryan Walker, who had lost his fight earlier. He made a point of hanging around on his own, came into the dressing room to console Linus after the fight and stayed there with us all. What a class act.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say Ryan Walker, he deserved, honestly, proper man.
Yeah, as you say, it's after his own hard fight with Nico Levers that he'd lost himself, but sort of had put up a very valiant effort in that fight. To go and do that is a touch of class, isn't it, really?
Sure. Well, no, I was really, really impressed with him. And so let's just go through the rest of the card then. We'll just have a quick look. Terry Harper, Cecilia Breakhouse was a draw. I thought it was a good card, by the way. We've been criticising TV cards. Good card. Just on the Terry Harper, Cecilia Breakhouse, wasn't the greatest fight in the world. Majority draw. But, you know, it was probably about right, I thought.
Yeah.
On the undercard, quite impressed with Junaid Bostan. He's now sort of 7-0 with 6 KOs. Thought he was very impressive. Hopi Price, Conor Coghill, good fight. Conor Coghill gave it his all. Hopi Price class strong through. And Lee Wood, Josh Warrington, well, Josh Warrington's winning it and gets caught by another Lee Wood special. Good fight. But you've got to say, I thought overall the card was good. It wasn't like phenomenal. I mean, obviously the Kieran Conway Linus didn't take off. Hopi Price Coghill was okay. Lee Wood Warrington was good. But it was a good little card. You couldn't criticise that as a card overall.
And you think you sort of need to judge these things in advance, don't you, rather than afterwards. If the fight doesn't take sort of fire, then it's not the fight, or it's not the promoter's fault who's put it on. We sort of said last week it's a good card. It's not spectacular, but it was solid.
For sure. And I mean, it was better, with all due respect, it's a better card than the Friday night card at New York Hall. That wasn't much to look at. I mean, top of the bill, Elizondo won by a couple of points. Defended his WBO European, but it wasn't that much. I didn't think it was a great fight. The Friday night wasn't good. I thought the most exciting bit was seeing Angel Emeloff give Carl Fowler a load of trouble before he went down on points. So I thought that was not a bad fight, but it was what you'd expect. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a fair show. But I'm looking forward to the O2, the Eddie Hearn one on the 21st, but we'll talk about that next week.
Ben Shalom one.
Yeah. Sorry, the bench. Yeah, the bench.
Yeah,
he has got one the same day, but I think the Ben Shalom boxer one is a really good card.
What's the Hearn? Oh, is that where he's dug up the corpse of Linares to come and fight Jack Cattrall?
You got it.
I'm not on board with that at all. But we'll come on to that next week. But sort of the amount of times that poor old Jorge Linares has been milked by the British boxing scene
you've got the Fiaz Bellotti fight, which isn't bad on it, but apart from that you've got Tom Farrell being wheeled out again to get beaten, etc. That is not a good card.
But the boxer Ben Shalom one is, but we'll look at that more in depth next week rather than this week. But yeah, right, so we'd asked some questions to come in. And we've got some. So thank you very much to those that have sent them in. I'm not going to read them in any great order other than where you and I have sent them to one another. So Lewis Moore's photo. Have you met Lewis? I mean, he comes and does your shows, doesn't he?
I don't think I've ever really spoke to him. What's
lovely, lovely bloke, by the way. Sort of, I got chatting to him not that long back, and sort of put him in contact with Kevin at the time to come down and do your shows. And his photos are exceptional. And he's just a really nice bloke. He's got to know Andy Gill really well as well, and sort of does a lot of his fighters, sort of follows them through the fight night. It's quite interesting.
Cool. Cool.
But a really nice bloke. So check him out. Moore's photos, or Moore photos. Sorry, MoorePhotoss on social media. But check him out. He's a lovely bloke, Lewis. And he asks, what next for Brad Pools?
Well, I think we can reveal that next week.
Fingers crossed.
All things being well. I've told you off camera, but I can't reveal that yet because you have to seek approval and things, but hopefully all things well, we'll be able to reveal that for you next week.
Yeah. And how difficult would it be getting fights for the likes of Yasser Elgainer and Ahmed Hatim, who have scored impressive KOs recently?
Okay, so I manage Yasser Elgainer. I don't manage Ahmed Hatim. Ahmed Hatim is managed by Mickey Amu. So we help him out. We don't have a deal. We just fight Mickey Amu's fighters. We help him fight on our shows. Deal with Yasser Elgainer. I might have news for you next week. It might not have been as difficult as you think. So I'm hoping to have news for Yasser Elgainer. Again, we're in a week now where the Southern Area Council meet, the British Boxing Board meet. So at the moment, this is the case where we wait to see if we were able to get certain things approved. So I'm hoping once again to have Yasser Elgainer, an announcement for him next week. As far as Ahmed Hatim is concerned, Mickey's working on a fight at the moment. And that's really where we are. And I can't say any more than that. It's up to, you know, Mickey's dealing with that as his manager. But I think it's been particularly difficult. I know I was party. He wanted to fight a Rod Julian fighter called Louis Horn. Very, very hard fight to take on. Offered that because Louis Horn was after the fights, but they turned that down. They didn't want to fight Ahmed Hatim. So Louis Horn is a very good fighter. So they didn't want that. So they pulled away, they turned that down. And we've had a couple of others that have turned down fights with Ahmed Hatim. So he's particularly been difficult for Mick, but we've got somebody that has agreed to do the fight. So Mickey's working on that, the financials with them.
His mechanics work, you know, in the board meet and the area meet, and you put forward the fights that you would like to have approved ideally, and others do as well. How do you find out? Do you find out the same time as everyone else when they go up onto the board website, or do they give you a call saying,
with the main board, you wait, you know, the same as that, you're waiting for the circular like everybody else.
Yeah.
So I've got a list of things that has gone up this week. And I will only find that out then. As far as the Southern Area are concerned, they met today. And I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I will hopefully find out tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm not. They're busy. They're probably still doing their meetings now. So it'll be something I will chase up on Tuesday, Wednesday. Normally, the guy who runs the Southern Area committee is Des Reese, and he would normally call us to let us know when the fights are on, but he's away on holiday, so it will be somebody else from the area council who calls us to decide what's going on. But yeah, so
I always find that quite interesting. It's not like you sit around and hear it, you sort of get email notification of what's going on.
Exactly that.
All right, John Bailey, he's come to us with a handful of questions. Starting with, why are the board, speaking of which, refusing to go back to 14 fight York Hall cards?
Well, they won't go back to 12. And it's 12 everywhere in the country apart from 10 at York Hall. This is the one gripe I have with the board. I understand some of the other things, fee increases, blah, 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 blah. I understand, I accept nearly everything that comes my way and just say, well, that's just what you have to stomach. And that's just what they're doing. This makes no sense. There's no justifiable reason. upon various questions, it's obviously an issue they have. You can't change it. It makes no sense. Total nonsense. When you consider that Plymouth Guildhall, where we've promoted, can have 12 fights, a little pokey room where you can't squeeze anybody in, and yet you're cool. You can't have, you've got all the dressing rooms downstairs, you've got the dressing rooms now upstairs, and you can't have 10 fights, 12
You've
fights.
got the gym changing rooms out the board, the gym
Got the
out the
ones there
back.
which used to be the offices, I converted them to changing rooms, and so that the board would be happy, and they still won't go to 12 fights. And yet you can do it everywhere else in the country, 12 fights, apart from York Hall with 10. It makes no sense. So I think the question is, I don't know, I never will know, and it's the only real gripe I've got with the board because it makes no sense.
Moving on. What is Zach Chelly's world title? Would it be world, Euro, or British title fight?
Definitely not a British above that. I mean, I would expect him to win a British title. So his world title really has to be a world title, I think, because to me, a British title is the bare minimum he should be winning. And you've got to remember, he's now sometimes for father trainer relationships, apart from probably Calzaghe, who you could probably argue a dog could have trained him because he was so good. And I don't think they often work. So now he has got a trainer outside his family. I would expect to see Zach Chelly improving. Not any disrespect to his father at all. I just think sometimes it works better if you have a trainer fighter relationship rather than a father-son relationship as a trainer.
Yeah,
As
needs to step
oh,
up.
I listen. I know Ellis Stewart is trained by his dad Terry, so it can work in sometimes, and they're working together well. But generally, I think it more often doesn't work than does work.
Have you ever reported another promoter or manager to the board? If so, why? And if not, have you ever been close?
I have. I've had somebody stripped of their license for trying to poach one of my fighters.
Do I know that?
Yeah.
It rings a bell.
And I've also ended up with meetings with those people. I'm not going to mention their names because they're quite well, both people are quite well known. And I've also had other managers who I have contacted, and I think this is, who was poaching boxers. And he came to my office to have a discussion about it. And I don't think he'd be doing it again. He apologized.
I know that one.
And I prefer if I catch somebody poaching, I would rather do it face to face than report them, because face to face is better. And if they then carried on, then I'd report them. But yes, I have done it, and I will do it. But I prefer to do the, you know what you're doing. Don't you? Don't, everybody denies it, but I know. But if you're doing it, stop it. If you don't, then I'm going to come for you.
Yeah.
I never poach anybody. I don't poach anybody. I had a call at the weekend from somebody under contract. And I just said, don't talk to me. You're under contract. Go and try and resolve your issues with your manager. If you can't resolve your issues with your manager and you part ways and it's all done, then come back to me one other time down the future. But at the moment, I suggest you try and resolve your issues. And that is how I deal with things. I do it properly. And that's what, but others don't. They start
Yep,
things they shouldn't.
fiddling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly. I'm trying to remember the first one. That's going to confuse me
Remember,
now.
you'll remember when I tell you after this.
Will Boxmania ultimately stop if it is not picked up by a network?
No, because it's the plan of what I believe small hall boxing should be, full stop. But we want to create that as a new way of small hall boxing to be for the future. So no, it will not stop. If TV companies do not pick it up in the future, that's their loss. I hope they will, or somebody will. But for me, it's a must for them to do that. But we're going to build it and build it and build it. As you know, we're building one on 2nd of December, and you know some of the fights that are coming. And we've announced three title fights, and there's big stuff to come. Big stuff to come.
John, come to York Hall then. In fact, John was top of your prediction league, I think, before that sort of died his
John,
death.
you can come. He can come. It's going to be sold out. But John can come with a guest and have VIP tickets if he just drops us a line.
Right, John, drop me a DM on Twitter or get in contact with Steve, whatever it may be. I'm sure he was talking about addiction league and he's a big and fan of yourself. So there you go, that's his reward for doing so.
Yeah, 100%. Two VIPs for that night, and that'll be in the good the front row area, and you know, first two rows, and we'll sort that out for him.
And that is a blinding card as well. And I only know some of it. Have you ever believed, this is still from John, he's been busy, have you ever believed a fighter of yours has used PEDs, and do you believe there's an issue with it in the sport?
Yes, I have believed it. Yes, I got rid of him. And there was another one that I also thought was probably at it, got rid of him. So what happens with those that I think are cheating, I just get rid of them. I just find a way to remove them from our stable. I do that quietly. I don't tell the box what I know, but I find a way to gently move away.
What aroused your suspicions around it?
Right, okay. Very simply, one of the big things is sudden punch power that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
And we know quite well-known names where potentially you could say that's happened.
I'm keeping my mouth very, very firmly shut because I would otherwise get sued, frankly.
So I think we know that around the world, there are people that suddenly can go up through weights, can develop punch power that they never had. And I'm talking about people going back to, I remember a super middleweight that suddenly developed massive punching power at light heavyweight. But yeah, there are signs. There are signs of people's physique. You can tell. You can tell. And I don't think it's very prevalent at the small hall level. I don't. Although there are small hall boxers out there that I am convinced are on it now. But it's because remember, there's no checking at small hall. There's no automatic checking. It can be random. It's only done on intelligence.
We've got another question about that. We're going to come on to that.
Okay. But yeah, so in reality, the answer is yes. But if I really believe I've got a fighter that's on it, I find a way to remove them from our team. So if the question is, do I believe any of my current boxers I manage are on PEDs? The answer is no.
Linked to the last question, as a manager, how do you educate your fighters on PEDs?
Well, you basically make sure that you talk them through what they're taking, the supplements they're taking, if they need any help on answering the questions.
But do you do that?
I sometimes do. We were conversing at the weekend about it. And I do sometimes. If people bring it up to me, we do discuss it about checking the labels and the ticks on the boxes and the supplements. But do you know what? If a fighter's taking stuff, they're doing it deliberately. I don't believe most fighters are doing it accidentally. I think the vast majority are doing it deliberately, whatever level they're at. And I learned a lot from Larry Olabamiwa, who was a friend of mine who was busted for one when he had 13 supplements, 13 PEDs. And he was telling me a lot about what goes on. And it's quite scary. It's quite scary. A lot of names that he gave me many years ago, who he said were on it, have since been caught. And he knew he was taking it. I mean, I can't believe we haven't used it, you know. So I think it does go on. I don't think it's widespread in small hall. I think it's more common when you go up the levels and you're finding like Eddie Hearn's stuff where they're testing a lot more people. You're finding they get caught more. I don't think Linus got tested on Saturday, by the way.
So yeah, I mean, I'll come on to the next question and I'll probably link an answer that might thread back through all of this in some way.
Yeah.
Ross Newton, one on Twitter. How much drug testing, if any, happens in small boxing for the likes of English or area title fighters?
Never. The only time I've had, the last I've had three drug tests done at shows and that I can remember, three times they've turned up in the last 10 years. Each time they got someone, but each time it was targeted because they knew somebody had shot them on intelligence. I didn't know. but each time they caught somebody. Two of them were fighters that were on that I was managing, and one was an away fighter. So it's very, very rare, very rare.
Did they test everybody on the card that night, or did they just turn up, I want that person?
Pretty much. The odd one, they did the other one. Pretty much it was they knew they were coming for.
Yeah. I always think, and I'm not pointing this at your fighters, any fighters in particular, just a broad brush approach. I think it's prevalent. I think purely because I take it back to a conversation I had with Dave Allen years back, and he was saying he'd never been tested up until the point he was at Commonwealth title level. And he said that's the first time anybody ever took a sample from him, pre-camp, during fight, etc. First time. And I think that's, if there's not a disincentive to do it, you're opening a floodgate that allows people to do it. And I'm not saying people are sort of, there's a misconception that people are sat there with needles in their arms at home, sort of jacking up. I'm not saying it's that. But if you're not, and this will have a real sympathy with it as well, you're not making millions of pounds in sports or fighting anyone below the Commonwealth title level, even those around the Commonwealth title level. They're not making life-changing money. And so have you got the sort of nutritionists? Have you got the sports science experts that are able to advise you fully on sort of what is safe to take? All elite level athletes are looking to take their levels up to the legal amount. So they're looking to top up what's natural and make that up to the highest legal amount possible through supplements. If you haven't got the experts on board to do that, you're basically doing it as a bit of a half-assed job.
But you buy the supplements, so it's on there, whether it's on there also, whether it's a clean, if it's sport
clean.
I believe most of the drug taking is deliberate. The stuff that is done is deliberate. I think that you can identify certain trainers who are involved with it. And I believe that in many cases, the trainers are know what's going on of those fighters that are doing it. I mean, I'm just going to name two trainers that I do with all their fighters. Terry Stewart, Andy Gill, right? Just going to name those two for starters because they've got quite a few fighters with me. No chance any of them are on stuff. The trainers would not have it. No way would they be doing that. So none of their fighters would be on anything. Definitely not. So that gives an example. And I'm not going to go into which fighters are, I do believe, and which stables are on. But, yeah, I think it does go on.
But I've always thought I know it's a radical move, but a way to sort of eradicate PED, they won't eradicate it, but it's a brilliant disincentive to doing it. If a fighter is caught with PEDs and we go down that strict liability rule, which I realise is a bit of a fallacy anyway, but if we go down that strict liability rule, that fighter gets whatever ban is sort of handed out to them by UKEB. But I think then you need to extend that out. So every fighter within that gym is banned for 12 months. And the trainer of that gym is banned from training for 12 months. And I think that way you hold everybody to account. And so as a boxer, you're sort of, if you find out that your mate's doing something, you need to do something to stop them doing something. Trainers always talk about, they know about everything that goes on in a fighter's life, everything that goes on in their gym, until someone gets popped. And then they're like, well, I didn't think they'd be doing that. It's amazing how they sort of lose that accountability.
I don't disagree.
I think, yeah, and I don't mean it's sort of prevalent for everybody in small hall, but I'm not saying that. I just think if you're an athlete trying to get the best out of your body, you'd almost be daft not to be sort of trying to top your levels up to the best that you legally can, but you're doing that without necessarily the education or the expertise. And I think that's a risky thing.
There is a small hall stable, or fairly small hall, that I believe is doing it. But I'll tell you about that off camera.
I reckon I could guess who it is.
Well, let's see if you can guess off camera.
All right, we'll do that. Stan Dunbar, how far does Steve see Tim O'Dougherlin going? Are area titles being looked at?
They were looked at, but Timon didn't want to go for an area title yet. So
okay.
There was something we were trying to sort, but he turned it down, decided he didn't want to do it. Well, it wasn't him, it was his coach decided he didn't want to do it. I thought he should have done it. I think he's good enough to have won it. The problem's going to be when he now does fight for it, it's going to be a much harder fight for him than that would have been. But how far do I think he could go? I don't really know yet. I think he's very exciting. He's talented. He's getting on. His age-wise, he's not in his favour. But yeah, I thought he was ready.
Did you have a fight?
Yeah. But sometimes what happens in my job, and I'm just being honest, 95% of the time, if we recommend something, a trainer will go along with us, or pretty much the ones that, but if a trainer says no, it's no. But that's, we think that with 13 years experience and 52 champions, we think that we'd sort of like to trust our judgment. But on the other hand, we have to respect that it can be a boxer or a trainer that decides they don't agree with us, and that's okay as well, because we just do the best we can. But if they don't feel they agree and they feel they need more time, then so be it, they have more time.
Yeah, but it is a collaborative sort of approach to it, isn't it? So,
Sorry, I can't hear you, Martin. Sorry.
I say it's a collaborative approach to what you're
Yeah,
doing.
for sure. I mean, we don't spit the dummy out if they don't agree. If they don't agree, it's fine. We move on. But yeah, most of the time, most of the time, we're holding fighters back from titles. In other words, they want to go too early, and we're saying, no, it's too early. Wait, wait, wait. It's very rare that we get a fight with we. It's very rare to go the other way. But the trainer obviously knows his boxer best, and therefore it's better to be more cautious. And if they feel that, that's fine. That's fine.
Aaron Chahal, are the two main UK sport channels, Sky and BT, losing interest in boxing and subsequently cutting funding slash not giving extra funding?
Can't answer that because I'm not privy to the information. You'd probably have to ask Kevin, who used to work with us, but he's not going to obviously divulge that. I wouldn't ask him. I don't know.
If I had the context of that, then Queensbury will finish the year with 13 regular BT or TNT now, UK shows, four being next gen-ish type shows. Boxer will finish with 10 regular Sky UK slash European shows, two being next gen. Again, equivalents. Completely get promoters will only put on what budget permits, etc. But how on earth can some of these shows be allocated TV slots? The zone times, Matchroom times, Warren. Wasserman slightly more, but not even an argument as it's a standalone boxing app with a minimal reach. So yeah, he's sort of taking the zone away from that.
I can't disagree, because I think, yeah, I can't disagree. I can't. I mean, it looks to me as if they've given such big contracts to certain boxers that their budgets are stretched elsewhere. It does look like that, doesn't it? It does look as if that's happening. It does look like it does feel like there are less activity with Sky than it was under Eddie Hearn towards the end. It does feel like that, doesn't it? Whether it is proven in numbers, I don't, it's difficult. I don't know. I mean, Frank Warren and BT are still putting on many shows, but we've covered before that there's not the talent, there's not the they're not putting the fights on. I think I would be surprised if the viewing numbers are as high as they were a while ago. I would imagine the viewing numbers are falling. I would think that people are getting a little bit more disenfranchised with boxing because the product is not as good as it was.
And you're missing those massive headline names. I know he's still involved in the sport, but you're missing that Anthony Joshua that excited a nation. You're missing that Chris Eubank that at the time sort of excited a nation and was going to be the next big thing. Dillian White to some degree. You go back, it was sort of the Callum Smith he was coming through. There was a whole sort of cohort of boxers that were coming through underneath Anthony Joshua as he was at the top level. That we were excited about. That's not necessarily the case right now in the UK boxing scene. A lot of those names are now sort of on the decline and probably going to be out of the sport in the next 2 to three
And
years.
if you look at the say the Bratzy Aziz fight, which is a good trade fight, and the card's not bad. From what I understand, when Josh was looking at the ticket site the other day, he said the top is closed at the O2. So it's the whole top's gone. It's not even open. And the bottom is masses of tickets left for sale. So
Which is a shame because that's an absolutely cracking fight, and we were sort of discussing it earlier with Lawal versus Chamberlain on there, and Green versus Gilly. It's a really good card. I just it feels like if you took Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury away, who's the next sort of big name? Who is the big name in boxing right now? And I realize it's a building process as well. And I realize they're sort of maybe Sky are putting their money and their backing into Adam Azim, probably. I think that's.
Well, like, Simon, but you take, with no disrespect, we covered this last week. Michael Hennessy Jr. is on the O2 show.
He's not now. He's been called off.
Has he been called off, has he? No,
Well, the Harley Benn fight is off. I don't know if they're
but they're
all.
looking for another opponent, because I
Oh,
know.
okay.
Yeah, it was, so his fight is, he's obviously going to be on the card. And that wasn't a bad little fight, him against Harley Benn. But you've got to look at, they're either signing these super duper signings like Lawrence Okolie, for which I would imagine would be humongous money, right? Or they're signing, there's just not enough quality in the middle that they're signing and building properly. It's just, I mean, I did see, I was watching Hearn's card the other day. There was a couple of good prospects on there you think are going to come through in time. But I'm looking at Sky, I don't see it. I just don't see it. Don't see
And
that.
do you know what? My biggest frustration around all of this kind of stuff, take Okolie, for instance. You put all that money into Lawrence Okolie that they must have done to sort of get him out of Match Room and over onto Sky. The fact that he loses to Billum Smith, fine, that happens. Boxers lose, there's no issue. What does Okolie do to build boxing on Sky in his own time outside of that Billum Smith fight? Has anyone heard from Lawrence Okolie since? Has Lawrence Okolie been there pushing the product? Has Lawrence Okolie been pushing Sky Boxing as a platform? I've not seen him once. Where does that money go outside of the 12 rounds that he signed up for?
And here's the problem. Recruiting correct is key. Get fighters with some talent, with some amazing thing. I've got a fighter that I'm working on doing a deal with. Are you ready for this? Who's going to sell out York Hall on his own again?
Is
Just
this
like
another of your Albanian fellas?
something to do with somebody from that part of the world. But he's not from Albania, this guy. But he is planning to sell. We are planning to do potentially up to even talking today about selling out Alexandra Palace. Right now, this guy's a character. Never fought in Britain before, but he will be electric. Now they should be snapping this guy, snapping him when they get an opportunity if this all comes off. But we're going to work on it. But there's a few others. You need to build people that are excellent at their sport and have got some sort of story, some sort of thing that people are going to buy into. And that's really important, really important. And they should be having better fights on, better undercard fights on. Because if you are going to give a slot to somebody you're building, make sure your building is going to be any good and going to get there. Because if you're just trying to just build a very average fighter, that's just daft for TV. You could replace that fight with a proper fight.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, so no, I think it's always my eternal frustration. I've done bits of your boxes before around sort of build yourself outside of the ring. Like, there are hundreds of professional boxers in the UK, hundreds of them. What sets you apart from the rest of them at that
Got to be
small
something,
level?
exactly that. And we got to carry on and do that. And I'm in agreement. What's your answer to that question? Do you think they are losing interest?
I mean, if you benchmark it, say, against 3, 4 years ago, I think it's almost undoubted. I think they absolutely are. Like, I don't know the numbers, but I can only imagine budget-wise, sort of, you sort of have an RPI against it. I can't imagine the budget of today is sort of equivalent to the budget of 4 or 5 years ago. But again, I think that's predicated by the fact that when the sport is booming, they'll put more money into it. And the sport undoubtedly isn't booming right now. We don't have that peak Anthony Joshua, that sort of interest in all those other names that I reeled off earlier, the sort of next lot of pay-per-view stars. They're not there. And so if I was a broadcaster, undoubtedly I wouldn't be putting my money into that when I could put it somewhere else that's going to draw attention. The challenge then is, how do you build that next lot? And, you know, I have these conversations regularly with other people sort of within the sport about, there's an onus on the individual boxers to be doing that themselves. Just because you're signed up to a DAZN, a Matchroom, a TNT Sport, they should still be doing their own work to build their own profile and push that. It's not the promoter having to do that and the network doing that for you. That's why I love someone like Ellie Scottney. She just shows off her character.
I agree.
But it's one of my pet hates. It's sort of the laziness of sort of boxers when they reach that level. But
do you know what other pet hate? My other pet hate is a press conference. How's it going? Best camp ever. Yeah, it's going well. I'm looking forward to the fight. I'm going to show what I can do. Thank you, Eddie, for the opportunity. Thank you, Frank, for the opportunity. Thank you, Ben, for the opportunity. It's really good, and I'm going well. Camp's good. I'm sparring him. No.
Do you not add to that? Open workouts.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Could not give a fuck about an open workout. Never been intrigued to go to one. You always end up with the same sort of talking heads at the side of the ring doing the broadcast saying, well, you know, they're clearly not showing everything during this. Well, why are you doing it then?
Oh, yeah, I mean,
what's the point?
This needs to be changed. It needs to be changed. But that's not, this is down to the TV. They've got to improve the product. They've got to improve the marketing. They've got to improve the fights. They've got to improve who they sign. They've got to improve recruitment. They've got to not pay too much money for things that aren't worth too much money. They need to spread the budget accordingly and build brands and products that people are going to buy into. Full stop, that's how it is.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think just something like a press conference, it would be such a simple change. Given that they all get live streamed on YouTube on the promoter platforms, open it up so you've got half an hour of people sending questions in and somebody sat there picking them up and asking them. And so you sort of get rid of the troll ones that will invariably come in.
Yeah.
But just open it up to the public to ask questions, because it's going to be far more interesting than, and I feel for like Eddie when he has to sit there for the, you know, the third week in a row doing these things. You know, he hasn't got an endless list of questions.
No.
Open it up to people that are interested in it. Yeah, then, I don't know why they wouldn't.
One becomes the same as the other, doesn't it? That's just what, apart from the main event. But no, I agree. So that needs, but yeah, until they get, somebody changes this sort of stuff, this is what's going to happen. It's going to fall down a pecking order. And yet, I just don't know where the next bunch of, where I can see the next bunch of, Ben Whitaker looks a character. There's a few characters, but generally there's not a lot of characters coming through on both sides. And also they're not making good enough fights on the whole.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's hope. There are people out there that can change it, that can make it better. It'll just maybe take time to do it.
Exactly that. Exactly that.
Right, let's stop recording, and then we will come back next week and preview Bouazizi Aziz. And then once we finish recording, we can work out who we think might be taking PEDs and which stables. So thank you for watching. That'll all go on off camera, and we'll be back next week.
Brilliant. We'll see you next week, and we'll preview the O2 card.